I'm Antonio Grisefo, and this is the Brooklyn Monk in Asia podcast, episode 15, an anti-travel story, part 2. If you remember, when last we left our hero, me, I was standing at the cheap airline check-in counter in Hanoi trying to fly to Saigon, but they were telling me that I was overweight. Well, you know, my baggage, and they wanted me to pay money. And I think the last thing I said was, no, I'm not going to pay it. So here we go, resuming the story more or less where we left off last time. Maybe you can take something out of your luggage and put in your carry-on. I can't take 10 kilos of stuff in my carry-on, I exclaimed. Then you must pay. I ripped my luggage open and began tossing things on the floor. Fine, fine, fine. You want me to leave my possessions here? You want to take what little I got? Fine. I'll leave my Family Guy Complete Seasons 1 through 7 DVD set and my boxing gloves and, of course, my underwear. God knows what a prison those little garments are. I looked at the growing pile of things that were essential to my maintaining a normal life. And while it would have had a negative impact on me financially, leaving those things was probably only saving me like 4 kilos of luggage weight. I began to calm down a bit. Or, let's say, my rational side began to wrestle control away from the evil Antonio from episode 23. Rational Antonio reminded me, "You are now in a communist country, in an airport, heavily guarded by men with AK-47 machine guns. You are bigger than everyone else. They are frightened of you. You are tearing your luggage apart and throwing things all over the floor. Oh yeah. And you are screaming, like the angry lunatic you are." Apparently, this entire internal monologue was done as an external monologue and at full volume. It ended when I shouted, "I gotta stop talking to myself or people will think I'm mad!" As I slowly came to my senses, I half expected to hear an alarm or a siren go off. Whoop, 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 followed by a bunch of Vietnamese in green uniforms swinging batons at my head. It was even remotely possible that some of them might have been angry about the encounters they had with Americans a few years back when we were dropping napalm in their villages. "I'll pay the fee," I said, forcing a smile. I calmly packed my bag. I approached the counter and took out my wallet, counting $60 in local currency. "No, cannot pay here," the ugly woman advised me. "You will go to other counter over there." She pointed at another counter on the other side of the airport where I'd have to wait in line again. "What the hell? I finally agreed to pay and now you won't take my money?" I almost went off on a tirade about free market economy and the benefits of capitalism when I remembered the men in uniform swinging batons. "Woo, woo, 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 woo." "Of course," I said calmly. What was I thinking? Obviously, it makes sense to have me pay over there and then wait in line again when I return to this counter. I can't think of a better way of doing this, like allowing the extra baggage, like on Air France. France, you kicked those guys out, but now you let them back in because they have better airplanes than you. "Oh, money padre, om, come," I said to myself, remembering images of the Hanoi Hilton movie I'd seen as a kid. I just couldn't imagine being locked up in a dungeon somewhere with John McCain, listening to his endless rants about why he should have been president, tortured and starved for years, thinking, if only I'd been more polite at the airport, this would never have happened. I went over to the overweight counter, I mean, the Biggest Loser counter. When my turn came, I stepped up to the counter and said, "Supersize me!" And I handed the woman $60 in local currency. "We cannot accept Vietnamese dong," she said. And she wasn't joking. "This is Vietnam," I said. "Your national currency is Vietnamese dong. You have to accept dong. It even says right on the money, legal tender for all debts public and private." Actually, it's U.S. dollar that says that, not the dong notes. And I always use that as an argument when someone in the U.S. won't let me pay in cash, like when they demand a credit card. I point out that by federal law and by the definition of currency, no one in the U.S. can require you to pay by any method other than cash. But this wasn't the U.S. Thank you very much, 1975. This was Vietnam, and if the cashier had been clever, she would have pointed at my dollars and said, "You see, all debts public and private. Pay up, chubby white man." But she didn't. She just demanded that I pay in dollars. What annoys me about this transaction is, if you were in the U.S., we wouldn't demand that you pay in Romanian shekels, because our currency is the dollar, so you have to pay in dollars. And if I was in England, it's not like arbitrary businesses, let's say, for example, the bakery, demands to be paid in East German pesos. No, they want to be paid in that anachronistic currency, the ever-devaluating British pound. And rightly so. But here in Vietnam, I was being forced to pay in dollars. Do you want me to pay in dollars because you believe dollars are better than your own currency? I wanted to ask. When I was a student in Germany, anytime we had problems, the Americans would start yelling, "Who won the war anyway?" Here, she could claim Vietnam won the war. But whoever heard of the winner demanding to be paid in the loser's currency? The batons, I told myself. I counted out $60 onto the counter. I wouldn't even normally have dollars because I was working and being paid in dong, but I'd received a Western Union payment from a freelance gig the day before, and Western Union, thank God, demands that payments be made in dollars in countries whose currency is not exchangeable. You know, the winners. The cashier wrote up a receipt and stamped it. Then her supervisor stamped it. Then she counter-stamped it. Then they copied it. Next, they tore it along a perforated edge. And stamped and counter-stamped the two halves separately. When they were certain that the two halves had been equally authenticated, she handed me one of the halves, plus $36. "What's this?" I asked. But then I thought better of it. I just needed to get out of there as fast as possible. First off, the men with the batons were probably just finishing their breakfast break. And my flight would be boarding soon. I returned to the check-in counter, presented my receipt, which was dutifully noted, documented, copied, stamped, verbally approved, and then signed off on again. On the way to the gate, I decided that the ugly woman had taken pity on me and only charged me for 4 kilos of overage. Now I felt like a complete heel. Here she was trying to help me, this beautiful woman, and all I did was yell at her and call her ugly. Passing a flower shop, I briefly considered buying her a gift to make it up to her. Since it would have embarrassed her to give her flowers in front of her co-workers, I thought I could just miss my flight and buy a ticket for later in the day. Then, I would break into the office where the employee records were kept and find out where she lived and what time she got off work. Could you imagine the surprise on her face when she came home and I popped out from behind a tree holding the flowers? I bet she'd just die. Oh yeah, but then I remembered that this was not the behavior of a penitent man. This was the behavior of a stalker. And not only would I frighten her, but I would definitely get beaten with batons. Giving up on the flowers, and by extension, the batons, I continued through immigration. That was a tense moment. I just knew the woman at the counter had called ahead and told them to stop me. I half expected the official to open my passport, nod, and say, "This is the one." And then he would press some secret button, like the robbery button at the bank. Woo, 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 woo. And suddenly, I'd be surrounded by Agent Orange survivors with heavy clubs. When the cop told me I could proceed on to my gate, I was so happy that my brain started working right again. It hit me. The ugly woman hadn't done me a favor. She charged me for 4 kilos of luggage because I was 10 kilos over the normal maximum. I'd already paid for 6 kilos, and so I only had to pay for 4 more, $24. If she told me that at the beginning, I never would have flipped out. I would have been very slightly annoyed, but I would have paid it. In fact, when I bought 6 extra kilos, I didn't rule out the possibility that I was actually 10 kilos over. Now I hated her again, that ugly witch. And I was glad I didn't cancel my flight and wait in front of her house with flowers. This whole situation was clearly avoidable if she had just explained better. Of course, it could also have been avoided if I hadn't flipped out. But even that possibility would have been ruled out if she had used some sensitivity and logic when explaining to me in the first place. 100 years of colonialism, and the only thing left from the French was their customer service policy. Yeah, she was clearly insensitive. Like most people do when they're completely wrong, I had convinced myself that I was right. Yeah, she was clearly insensitive. She was the kind of maniac who would cancel her flight and track you down at your house to settle an argument. At the gate, it turned out that the low-cost flight was delayed by 30 minutes. If I had known, I could have stayed and insulted the check-in workers more. The Air France flight, on the other hand, boarded on time. I could see a smiling flight attendant handing out free newspapers and snacks to the passengers as they boarded. They were all wearing berets and singing, "Alouette, gentil, alouette." Okay, the flight attendant didn't use deodorant and probably hadn't shaved her armpits or legs, but still, a free newspaper is nothing to sneeze at, especially if you have to go to the toilet during the flight. To kill time, I turned to an Australian guy sitting next to me and told him the story. And if she had just explained it to me, the whole thing could have been avoided, I concluded, expecting him to agree with me and possibly even offer to go upstairs with me and help me insult the check-in crew. Seems like you got snagged in a language barrier, mate. Oh, this hit a pet peeve. Every problem that happens in Asia, people blame it on language barriers. It's not the language that's the problem, it's the culture. This person had enough language to be able to tell me my luggage was overweight and I had to pay money. She knew all of that in English. I find it unlikely that she couldn't have told me, but you already paid for 6 kilos, now pay for 4. She could have said it in Tarzan talk and made it understood. Or, when I said $60, which I said like 10 times, she could have said, no, $24. The barrier wasn't language, I concluded. She was just evil. I think you don't understand, mate, said a woman sitting across from us. She was obviously Vietnamese, but had been living in Australia for so long, she had a serious Kiwi accent, or an Aussie accent, whatever it is. No, wait, Arnold Schwarzenegger had an Aussie accent. Crikey, I'll be back. That's right, no, she didn't sound anything like Arnold Schwarzenegger. She sounded like the Artful Dodger if he was Australian, or Eliza Doolittle before meeting Henry Higgins. She was speaking the Australian equivalent of Cockney. I can't really do her or any accent justice, so I'll just do the best I can. Please be kind. Right, you don't understand. You see, there's a weight limit, and you are over the weight limit, mate. Oh, that was the problem. Yeah, geez, I didn't understand that. Even when I bought the extra 6 kilos of luggage allowance, I had no idea what that meant or why I was doing it. I've never flown before. In fact, I'm unfamiliar with weights and measures. I'm a complete moron, and I didn't understand there was a limit to the amount of weight I could take on the plane. That was clearly the confusion. I'd originally considered taking a container full of bowling balls with me, but now I'm glad that I didn't. She obviously didn't realize I was having her on, because she looked completely unperturbed. The Aussie guy, on the other hand, did understand. He quietly moved to another seat, hoping to stay out of the line of fire. Yeah, right. If he had less luggage, that'd have been all right. But because he had more luggage, that's what caused the problem. I could have ripped into her for hours, but it was time for passengers needing special assistance to board the plane. I raced ahead, not wanting to get stuck behind some old guy with crutches or a lady with a walker. They'd made me pay extra to put my Family Guy seasons 1-7 DVD on the plane, but this lady was allowed to bring a walker, and I bet money no one waited. A pregnant woman gave me a nasty look when I cut her off in line. Look at me all you want, lady, but if we get on a scale, I'm carrying less weight than you. They'll charge you for 2 tickets. As for the Vietnamese lady from Australia, she was living proof that the problem I had that day was not linguistic. She understood all the words, but missed the problem entirely. I guess the old adage is true. You can take the girl to Australia, but you can't take extra luggage on the plane. Something like that. And this is why I hate to travel, because none of this stuff ever happens to me in my apartment. It only happened because I agreed to go out that door. People say, oh, you should travel. Oh, the people you meet. It's wonderful. Yeah, don't travel. One of the people you meet might be me. That's it for this episode of the Brooklyn Monk in Asia podcast. If you haven't passed out yet, please reach over and press the button marked subscribe. You can get my new book, Warrior Odyssey, and my DVD, Martial Arts Odyssey, Volume 1, at my website, speakingadventure.com. Don't turn it off yet. I still got some stuff I got to get off my chest, and I promise to make it entertaining. Just let me get my job out of the way first. You can subscribe to my newsletter or get my book, The Monk from Brooklyn, at my website, speakingadventure.com. You can follow me on Twitter, Brooklyn Monk, or join my Facebook fan page, also called, wait for it, Brooklyn Monk. Brooklyn Monk on Facebook. And you can watch all my videos for free on my YouTube channel, Brooklyn Monk 1. I'm down to my last pile of Vietnamese dong, and all bad dong jokes aside, I seriously need some cash. Watching National Geographic Channel, I saw a story about a tribe in some place, I don't know, maybe it was Africa or the Caribbean or Belgium. Anyway, they drank a drink that was made by the women chewing nuts and spitting in a bowl. They say that channel is educational, so I was trying to think of a way I could make money by taking things out of my mouth. Skinny Henderson in my third grade class made money eating things that weren't food, but he eventually had to have an operation to have a handful of gravel removed from his stomach. So I don't want to go that route. Then I thought, they always say you should find something you love and use that to make money. Well, I love the first Star Wars movie. I mean the original, the one from 1979, not the Jar Jar Binks versions that were made later. Anyway, I was experimenting around with chewing white bread until it got doughy, and then just using it to mold small statues of the original characters. Chewbacca, Spock, Anakin, Jimbo. So if you want some of my chewed up Star Wars replicas, send me some cash and I'll mail them right out to you. Or, let's say your kid's got a birthday coming up. I'll come to your house and entertain the children by making chewed up bread Star Wars characters for them. You know, like a balloon clown. But, if you believe it would be psychologically damaging for your children to see a down and out writer in his 40s spitting bread dough and molding it into the shapes of sci-fi figures from a movie 30 years ago, then you can just go to my website, speakingadventure.com, and donate to the Keep Antonio Writing and Filming Fund through the donation button linked to my PayPal account, speakingadventure.com. Hey, don't be what they want you to be. Be what you want you to be. Be a fish, be a rainbow, be a librarian. Or you can just do what I do. Be Antonio Graceffo. I'm Antonio Graceffo, the Brooklyn monk in Asia, reminding you to go out and do something stupid today.